A man's right to work as he will, to spend what he earns, to own property, to have the state as servant and not as master, they are the essence of a free economy. And on that freedom, all our other freedoms depend.
In a post-GFC world, questions are being asked about how society should be run. Should we allow bankers and private companies free rein? Or should governments have a role in regulating them? Questions are also being asked about whether it's the private sector or the public sector who should be providing services to the community. British economist Philip Blond's tour of Australia is highlighting all of those questions. But for some, his big society sounds scarily like Margaret Thatcher's Free Society speech of 1975. But Philip Blond rejects this idea.
In many countries in the Western world now, there's an economic recession. But it's not just the downturn of the general economy. It's the undermining of the basics of not just working class, but increasingly middle class life. And there's also a social recession. The last 30 years has seen more family breakup, more social isolation, more elderly being abandoned, more people getting through life on their own. So big society is really an attempt to turn the economy upside down and start to make capitalism work for those at the bottom and indeed in the middle and reverse the ongoing trend of social isolation and fragmentation to build back people's economic and social lives from the bottom up.
Is big society just a nicer sounding way of saying you want to slash social welfare and the public sector?
Not in the slightest. Unfortunately, in Britain, what happened is the economic crash and the crisis came along a couple of years after everybody had been thinking about how to create a genuinely pro-social, economic and public service model. And critics wanted to slam the whole process by saying it's just a cover for cuts or it's just a cover for austerity. This just gets the world profoundly wrong. It has nothing to do with cuts. It could even, you might argue, be the platform for bigger government. Many of those on the left might argue, actually, what we need is bigger government, but just a more local form. That wouldn't be my position, but it would still be a big society type of thinking.
The big society principle has been adopted by Conservative British Prime Minister David Cameron as part of an £81 billion reduction in public spending and the slashing of more than 700,000 government sector jobs. But has that actually made everyday people better off? James Whelan is the Public Service Research Director for the Centre for Policy Development in Sydney. He doesn't think so, and doesn't accept Philip Blond's rejection of the connection between big society and massive job losses.
I feel that that's an unhealthy and unrealistic separation, and that having articulated a vision, Philip has a responsibility to speak for or against the consequences of its implementation.
What are the implications of big society, especially in relation to Australia?
In simple terms, big society advocates a diversity of providers so that instead of having a large state or a large private sector or a huge community sector, there are lots of different types of entities providing services and fulfilling the other functions of government. What's actually happened in the UK is we've seen a reduction in the diversity of providers, and corporations have thrived. They are the only people who've thrived. The public sector has been gutted, the community sector has been gutted, the corporate sector has grown. The implications for Australia are that we might head down the same path.
Tony Abbott is very interested in Philip Blond and his economics. Why do you think this is?
Tony Abbott and other conservatives, including the new premiers in the east coast states of Australia, are advocates of small government. Big society provides a persuasive device to argue against the state and to argue for a significant reduction of the state. So it's appealing for that perspective. It's important to note, though, that there are some huge differences between Australia and the UK. We don't have an economic crisis as the UK did with a 70% net debt level. We have a very modest level of debt here in Australia. We haven't overinvested, if you can do such a thing, in the public sector. We've underinvested. We invest significantly less in the public sector than the OECD average or the UK. And yet, the same arguments that were used in the UK to cover for the dismantling of the state are appealing to the right in Australia, and we're already seeing signs of them.
James Whelan. But Philip Blond says it's about a focus on society, not on government.
There's nothing inherent in the idea that less state. What it really, the essence of big society is a different type of state, a state that isn't centralized, top down and remote, but is local, devolved, participatory and engaged in. So really, the whole kind of desperate attempt by people to kind of paint the big society into a neoliberal corner is completely mistaken. We're not even in that room. We're building a different type of house. We're building a different type of building so that people can live it in a way in which all can flourish.